Yeah. Okay, good. So I figured that you guys came back from a Shabbaton, and even though I told you to get sleep, you're all more exhausted.
No,
you're... What? Yeah, but I saw they gave you a second minion yesterday. You had an option for an 8 o'clock minion. Okay. Well, I hope you're energized, but at any rate, I figured you might not be so awake, so I wasn't going to start a sigil that would go long. Okay. So, this is hopefully not such a large sigil. I keep saying that. Okay. So, the Gemara assumes, though I know that this isn't obvious, but under certain circumstances, you're allowed to investigate the claims of someone asking for tzedakah before you give them money. In certain circumstances, you cannot. Now, I will note that I didn't want to get too much into the sugya, but the Adramah assumes, and this seems to be assumed by most poskim, that the Gemara doesn't mean you should investigate before you give them, you know, a quarter, right? Like a nominal tzedakah, you know, a basic amount, okay, so, you know, you should give. But the question is, if you're investing real funds, that's what they assume the sugya is really about, right? Where you're not just giving, you know, you don't have to do a whole, you want to give a quarter to a panhandler, right? You don't have to do a whole investigation, right? And in general, you should give something, unless you know they're not honest, right? I remember once in YU that Rav Schechter announced there was one person around YU that you shouldn't give money to at all because he's a fraud, right? Which was obvious because you saw him during the week and he was dressed in like tattered clothes and whatever, asking all the YU students. And as soon as it was Shabbos and you knew why you guys had money, you'd see him in like nice clothes, smoking, hanging out, you know, like, right? It was very predictable, right? So, right, at some point you realized the truth about it. So you have two positions in the Gemara. So first you have Rav Huna's position. What's Rav Huna's position? Amar Rav Huna, bodkin lemizanot, vein bodkin lechzut. What does that mean? Correct. Right, that if a person comes and asks you for clothing, right, he's wearing tattered clothes or whatever the case may be, or no clothes, I don't know, or no shirts, whatever the case may be, you don't, and he says, I need clothes. You don't investigate the claims, you give him money. But if he's asked for food, so then you ask. And the Gemara gives two reasons, ibayde mokra, ibayde mitzvara. There's a biblical proof text for this and a rational proof text, proof. Ibayde mitzvara first gives you the logical argument, Hi kamivaze, vai lo kamivaze. To ask for food, I mean, it's not, I wouldn't say the most dignified thing in the world, but in order to ask for food, the guy doesn't have to go around in a way that lacks dignity. But if a person goes around and says, I don't have clothes, and therefore he walks around without a shirt, that is degrading, and therefore no one would do that unless they really needed it. All right, that's the Gemara's assumption. Then the Gemara says, "Ibayde makra alopros l'ra'av lachmecha," which the Gemara derives from that pasuk in Yeshayahu. Pros is perush, right? Right. Figure out whether, in fact, he needs when you're giving him l'ra'av lachmecha to the hungry food. That's position one. That's the position of Rav Huna, right, b'shein ziv prosh, v'hadar havlay. Right, first, extrapolate, and then give him. V'hatam, but by clothes, tiv ki tireh aram u'chesito, ki tireh l'altar. When you see someone needs clothes, give him. Meaning, as soon as you see it, don't ask questions, just give him clothes. If you see someone walking around naked, give him clothes. Yes, Ezra.
So you said that there's, that is like the investigation,
A nominal amount, yeah.
What
So again, the exact, that's why I was holding back on the exact parameters here, because we can spend a lot of time on the next amud, which is the parameters of tzedaka, right? We can all come back to it, right? Let's assume for now that your full obligation to a poor person is more than a shekel, okay? Right? Now, this is not how we paskin. We paskin like Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says, Omar bodkin lechtut, ve'en bodkin lemizonot. You investigate for clothing, but not for money. Ibayim is svari, ibayim and akra. Again, logical argument and a textual one. Ibayim is svara, hai kamitztarolei, v'hai lo kamitztarolei. Lacking food is painful in a way that lacking clothes is not. Even in Mikra, Haruk Divalo Pros, Lerav Lachmecha, Pros Laalter. He reads it as not Perush, but Pros, just give it to him. I give him food. And when he says, when you see the person who's naked, it means when you understand, you perceive that he needs clothes. So he just flips the psukim. Okay. This is how we paskin. Right, I had this once that when I gave Shir Columbia, in Yavne, so I got off the subway once and someone asked me for food. So the problem was a lot of the panhandlers in New York, you know, are not Mahadrin min a Mahadrin, poor, but the guy looked like he really needed food. So I said, look, I'm willing to buy you food. Right? Because that's a good test, right? People who, right, that's practically, right? If people are really hungry and you offer to go into the store, it was next to a supermarket, and buy them food, if they really need food, they'll take you up on it, right? And if they want the money for something else, they won't. And the guy did. So I went in the store, and, right, and I spent $20, right? And I told him, buy what you need, and I bought it for him. I did that once in Toronto also. Right, a woman said she needed food for Shabbos, and she was asking not for a dollar. She was asking for, like, enough food for her family, right? It was plausible that that's what she needed, but I wasn't willing to give someone $20. But I said, I'm going to the supermarket anyways, right? And if the person agreed to come into the supermarket, right, and then I bought her what she needed, right, I put it on my credit card, and I gave it to her for Shabbos, because then I know it's for food. Right? And not for whatever else, right? I'm not willing to drop $20 in somebody's cup, right, that they're begging for. But if someone looks like they're starving and they were next to a supermarket and they say, I need food, and I say, okay, so come in, I'll shop for you, and they say, right, yes, right, chances are that that's really what they need. They need food, so then I buy it for them, right? Yes, Ellie. Okay, well, so let's try to figure out what their position is. Okay, so let's take the simple read. Okay, according to Rav Huna, why do you not need to check it out if he claims he wants clothes, and why do you need for food? What's his claim? Right. So Ellie put in a variation, but there's two main approaches I think you can take in Rav Huna, right? One focuses on the issue at hand as, right, in Hebrew, right, classic Lumdish, modern Lumdish terminology, we would call this siman or siba, right? Or in English, that's cause or, right, causation or correlation, though that doesn't really work here, right? Meaning there's two reasons that Rav Huna might think clothes are more likely for you to need to give them without investigating. One is that you think that humiliation is worse than starvation, than hunger. That's one possibility. What's the other possibility in Rav Huna? In Rav Huna, What does he actually say? Haikam Avaze, when he says he is degraded. There's two ways you could read that. Rav Huna, he says, the reason is because he's Mavaze and this is not Mavaze. This is degrading and that's not. So what does that mean? I only want you to answer my question. I don't want anything else right now. I want you to answer my question. Oh, that's very philosophical, right? I would have said that the two most likely are either degradation is worse than hunger, and therefore it's worse, right? So, right? Or a person is less likely to claim that he needs clothes when he doesn't, because to take off his shirt and go around in public is degrading. So it's not that hunger is, it's not that degradation is worse than hunger. It's that it's a siman. Right? A person who goes around without clothes probably really doesn't have clothes, whereas a person can fake being hungry without degrading himself. Right? So Rav Huna, I could see going either way. Right? That either we assume degradation is actually worse than hunger, and therefore if someone claims he doesn't have clothes, we give him more money right away without investigating in food. Or, and this is what I think is more likely in Rav Huna at least, it's just symptomatic. Right? That someone can someone can pretend to be starving when in fact they have food at home just to get you to give them money. But if someone, right? This isn't someone saying, I need clothes for the winter. It's clear in the Gemara the person is not wearing clothes, right? He's going around in, you know, like, in a barrel, right? Like the old, right? The old, like, cartoons, right? He loses his clothes, so he's wearing a barrel over him, right? He's going around in a humiliating way. Someone doesn't do that, right? Unless he really needs clothes. So it could be that Rav Huna thinks hunger is worse. He just thinks that it's easier to fake hunger without actually embarrassing yourself in a way that it's not for clothes, right? And therefore, if someone's willing to humiliate himself and go around in the barrel, right, he probably really needs it, right? So I could see Rav Huna going either way. Now, Andrew adds a third possibility, which is maybe it's societal, right? Maybe it isn't about his degradation. It's, no. When someone asks for food, that's bad, but When society gets to the point that people are walking around naked because they don't have clothes, right, the effect on society is worse, right? And which is also possible. I'm not sure. I can't prove that it's not the shot here. I don't know. I don't have an intuitive feel for it. We'll see that in the Mace Mitzvah case, right, it's clear that what's been going on, and this was the machloke that I had Ezra versus Yonadon, whether we're talking about dignity, right? Or if I want to be menaseicha differently, is the question here shame, right? Like the feeling of shame or the objective loss of dignity, right? Right, those are not the same, right? Shame is what you feel. Dignity is right, more objective, and it's more about what is presented in society or what it reflects about society. So Andrew's saying it might be, right, not just he personally feel, but it could be that people walking around naked is more shameful to society and therefore requires rectification as opposed to starvation, which maybe is more of a taking care of the poor, maybe. Okay? Those are, I think, three plausible. I let's say those are three plausible reads of Rav Huna. Yes, Rami. What to? Because the Gemara is, right? Meaning, the Gemara assumes, based on the Pasuk, right, on the Pesukim, or based on Svara, that there are some stuccoed that you just give people and some that you investigate. And the Gemara is trying to figure out why is one more likely than the other to require investigation. Yeah, why? So you're finding it weird that what? That we have a rule? That we have a rule of thumb?
What?
Meaning what? But how can you tell?
What?
How can you tell? You don't, the whole point is you don't know this person, right? It's not like you have a particular person, right? It's not that you... The Gemara is making a statement. The Gemara is trying to assess Yes, it's trying to make an overarching.
Either this one we check, this one we don't check, or vice versa.
Right, so we said that. Why do you, right? The Gemara seems to assume based on the Psukim that there are some things you can investigate and some that you're not. Once you have a preference, the Gemara tries to figure out which you would prefer. You're right. Theoretically, you could have said, anyone who asks for sukkah, you give, or anybody who asks for sukkah, you investigate. Because, again, the Gemara is two psukim, and the Gemara assumes that one of them tells you that you give tzedakah without asking, and one doesn't. Once you have to do that, the Gemara tries to figure out. One of them is talking about food, one of them is talking about clothing, so the Gemara is trying to figure out which one is more likely to require investigation, which one is not. You're right. In theory, you could have conceived of a world in which we give people money as soon as they ask, no matter what, or a world in which we don't give people money unless we investigate, right? But the Gemara is assuming, based on the Psukim, that there is one which you do and one which you don't. The Gemara is trying to figure out which is more likely. Okay, that's Rav Huna. What about Rav Yehuda? Right, Rav Yehuda flips it. So why does Rav Yehuda flip it? Right, again, we're going to focus on their logical arguments. Right, he assumes that it's more painful. Right, so I assume that when he says it's more painful, he really means... Right? Meaning with Rav Huna, we weren't sure whether this was siman or siba. Right? Whether it was degradation is worse than pain, or a person is less likely to degrade himself than claim he's in pain. Right? Right? But in Rav Yehuda, it seems pretty clear that he's claiming, that his argument is that starvation is worse than lack of clothes, and therefore, if someone doesn't have food, you know, we're not willing to, something like we're not willing to risk his starvation, even if he might be lying, in a way that we are willing to risk someone not having clothes, right? Or something like that, right? But Rav Yehuda does seem to be making a claim about which is worse, right? Lack of food or lack of clothing? Maybe, but I find it hard to believe that, right? It sounds like he's just saying it's more painful, and therefore we're not, even if he's lying, we can't risk it. We can't risk that he's not lying and not giving food. That's, right, that sounds like a view. I can't, it's hard to, in review, who to say that it's a, right, that it's a siman. Like, because it's more painful, people wouldn't claim they're starving, and that doesn't sound right, in the way it does for Rav Huna, right? I mean, Rav Huna, I could say, maybe not having food is worse, but... Oh, that seems so unlikely, but it could be, right? It could be that you think this is a guy starving on the street, and, right, the guy really starved himself to be gone so that people will give him money, right? You're right. You could read Rehuda that way. You're right. I mean, Rehuda could also be read that way, right, that it's symptomatic of the fact, or that it's just that we're not willing to risk it, right? Yes, Yaakov. Yeah, for sure, right? Investigation at some level is degrading, right?
So why
is it? And the answer is because we have limited resources, right? In the end of the day, right? Okay, I think this is a good point to sort of speak meta here, right? Why would you investigate at all, right? Because we could have said a theoretical possibility, you don't investigate. But there's a very good reason to say that even though at some level investigation can be degrading, we investigate. And that is, we have limited resources in Stucca. Right, charity is one of those things. If you give indiscriminately, right, you will run out of funds, right? And if you don't have unlimited funds, then you need to use it well, right? Look, let's take a modern example, okay? And again, I don't want to get into the full thing because we really could, right? We could ask about how this weighs in a modern, but let me give you a modern example, right? It is definitely somewhat degrading to ask people to provide their income information and to tell you how much they spend on vacations and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da in order to get tuition breaks, right? Mitzad sheni, if we don't do it at all, right, then we're going to run out of money, right? So your balancing here, on the one hand, it really can be degrading to ask people to basically bear their entire, you know, economic plan, you know, their income and their out, right, and their output and everything and what they spend, et cetera. But on the other hand, there are people who really need the money. And if you just trusted everyone, right, enough people who, you know, you trust who don't need it, and the people who really need it won't have money, right? So the question is, what do you do? And it is a real problem. It's not like a, it's not an easy, there's not an easy answer, right? There's not an easy answer, right? So you can, you know, there are compromises that communities come up with. Right now, look, it's definitely the case that certain schools err on the, too much on the side of protecting their finances, and they end up, right, completely humiliating anybody who ever asked for a tuition break, right? We all know of cases like this, right? Probably less in the opposite extreme of people who, right, there are probably few schools that just give money to anybody and therefore run out. I don't think most people are willing to do that. There are compromises, right? So like in Toronto, right, they actually had what I thought was a decent compromise, which was that this is true at least at the elementary school level, right, was that it wasn't decided by the school. Like the schools basically agreed that the UJA would be the arbiter, right, came up with certain standards, right, based only on income, right, and they had certain objective standards, right, and you gave them the information, the UJA made a decision, then passed it on to the school, right? It was a way of somewhat compromising, right, where there is a requirement of basic investigation, but, right, there's standards and, right, from then on, right, we're not going to be, right, whatever. But again, it's not easy, right, because, yeah, right, and of course that the reality that it's degrading leads many people to not ask even when they need it, right, which is not a good situation either, right? Look, you know, let's be honest, right? These aren't good situations, right? Of course, ideally, if we had infinite funds, we wouldn't. Yes, Adam. Of course, being stuck to begin with is not a right, meaning for sure giving people money is also degrading, right? Meaning, look, there's a reason that in halacha the ideal form of stuck is giving someone a job, right? Because we want people to be self-sufficient, we want to give them back their dignity. I don't remember who I was talking to about this. I think it was Yonatan, but I'm not sure, right? That, right, you know, for all the people in America who are screaming and saying, oh, the reason that there are problems in America is because we don't have enough of a social welfare net, right? And that's why people are forced to go back to work in minimum wage jobs, right? If we had just paid them to stay home, they would have stayed home, should look at Israel and see that that's not the case, right? Because in Israel, there is a fairly, right, generous social welfare net for Corona right now. But a lot of people protesting, some of them are protesting because they're not getting the advantages of it because of their small business owners and, right, it's not exactly, right, the way the niche works. It doesn't work for everybody. But certain people have just been protesting and saying, we don't want handouts, right? We just want you to lessen the restrictions and let us make money with dignity, right? Because the problem isn't that we don't have money. The problem is that you're not letting us make money. We have a business. We had dignity, right? And then you closed our businesses because of Corona, and you're making us into charity cases, right? We don't want your handouts. We want you to alter the restrictions to let us work. Now, whatever you think about Corona, whatever you think is the right thing to do, there's no easy answer. But what you see is not everybody wants a handout, right? Not all, right? People don't necessarily want you to just give them money because it's not dignified, right? It's more dignified to work. It's more dignified to make your own way, right? So, yes, everything here you're dealing with, you're walking in eggshells of people's dignity, 100%, right? And, you know, obviously, if you guys want to continue in the sugya of tzedakah, we know that. The reason there's the 8 layers of, right, levels of tzedakah, right, that the Rambam outlines, where it's best to give someone a job and then lending money is better than just a straight handout. And, right, if you have to give them money, do it secretly, right? All of that is because charities in general, not a dignified thing to do. You do your best, but it's, right? It never feels good, right? It never feels good to rely on handouts, right? It shouldn't. It shouldn't, right? Right? Yeah, I mean, there are certain societies that have, like, right, anesthetized themselves to the shame and therefore are happy to live on, you know, it drove me crazy. I knew of certain people and who, like, were totally lechatchila okay going to Kollel, right, knowing that they would make no money, be defined as poor, and they felt that they could scrape by on food stamps and, you know, in the meantime, I get to learn for a few years, right? It made me ill. I wanted to throw up, right? Like, for all the years I spent learning in in YU and whatever, like, in YU, I was not in the Kollel. When I was in Smicha, I worked, right? I didn't have to work full time because I had, I was, just married and have kids. It wasn't like I needed a lot of money, right? But I chose to do a master's and not Kollel, right? Because then I could move my schedule around so I could work, at least work part-time, right? Because I just felt like I don't want to be on food stamps. I don't care how many years it's going to let me learn, right? I'd rather work. And if it means I learn less, I learn less, right? Baruch Hashem, that's not how it worked out. I was lucky. I managed to find good part-time jobs and then, be in the Gush Kollel where it was not necessary because they gave me an apartment and a stipend and it was great, But again, ideally, no one wants to take handouts, right? We don't encourage such a society. Okay, fine. So, like I said, there's a lot going on in this thing that we could explore. But for now, what I want to do is focus on one point, right? And that is that in our Gemara, it seems like Rav Yehuda makes a claim that physical pain is worse than humiliation. Okay? It seems like that. I'm not sure Rav Huna makes the opposite claim. As we said, Rav Huna, it's a bit unclear whether he thinks that emotional, right, humiliation is worse than physical pain, or he just thinks that asking for clothes is humiliating in a way that asking for food is not. Right? And therefore it's just symptomatic, but it doesn't make a claim about the pain itself. But Rav Yehuda does seem to claim that starvation and physical pain is worse than the humiliation of not wearing the clothes, and therefore opts to investigate someone asking for clothes and not food. Okay? Seems like it. Yes, Ellie. Right, again, we said it's not clear, right? It could be that Andrew's right, that Rav Yehuda is imagining a person who actually looks gaunt, right? Who starved himself. And then you're saying, and then he's really symptomatic. He's saying, look, maybe you humiliation is worse than starvation, right? But it's not likely that someone is going to starve himself, right? To make himself look gaunt enough that you will believe plausibly that he doesn't have food as opposed to just taking off his clothes, right? Maybe the guy is, right, belongs to a nudist colony, so he doesn't feel any shame in not wearing clothes, right? The effort to go into starving himself so that people look at him and say, oh, he really needs food, maybe that's too much, and someone wouldn't do that. You're right. It could be that he also means it on the level of symptoms, in which case our sugya tells you nothing about which is worse. It's just about which is easier to fake or more likely to be faked. 100%, Ellie, you're right. If you do that, then this sugya, right, then leaving this sugya, we don't have any problems with any other sugya, because this is a very localized claim, which is easier or more likely to be faked, right, starvation or lack of clothing. You're right, in which case, this tells us nothing but any other sugya. But if Rabbi Yehuda is saying is that physical pain of starvation is worse than humiliation, then we have a problem. Now, you're right. It may be that because this would create a problem, we should opt not to say this, right? And this may be an answer. That's fine. So here I gave you basically two Gemaras, right? One which appears basically identically in Sanhedrin and Sota, and one in Brachot. Yes? Correct. Meaning the in It's almost identical. It's not totally identical. I mean, I put it here, right? I put, meaning I put parallel on Sota 8AB, right? Okay, so what is going on in that Gemara? So so tell me, okay, I thought one day, but it'll be 2 days. That's fine. It's good. You guys push me to keep thinking and analyzing more carefully, so things take time. That's good. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin. What is the case? What is the background? Yes, Ezra. Yes, right? The Gemara in Sanhedrin is dealing with all the death penalties, and this Mishnah is dealing with stoning. So how do we stone someone in Halacha? So we throw them off like a ledge which is about 20 feet tall, not so tall, and if they don't die from the fall, then we pelt them with rocks. Then we throw rocks on them until they die. You push them. I mean, 20 feet, you could, right? That, let's say, it's like two stories. About two stories, okay? You could definitely survive it. But what we try to do is kill the guy as fast as possible because it's painful. Okay? So the assumption of the Gemara, yeah, let's just go in. The assumption of the Mishnah is that we want to kill the guy as fast as possible rather than have to have them, you know, fall, break their ribs, try to run away while people are pelting them with rocks until they finally die, right? That's a worse death if things go than the quick, you know, you fall, you snap your neck, and it's done. Okay? So Gemara says, the Mishnah assumes that one of the ways to hasten their death is to make sure that when we stone them, they are naked. Because if they're clothed, then the clothing might pad their fall, right, which will slow down the death. Okay? So, So Rabbi Yehuda says that we strip them except for actually the genitalia, right? Right? Which for a man is, we define as the front. And for a woman, front and back simply because, right, the front and back sort of merge in a way they don't in the man, right? The man, the front is more separatable than it is in a woman, right? But basically they're both, right, man and woman are both unclothed, right? As much as possible. The Chachamim say it's not true. The Chachamim say a man is stoned naked, or almost naked, and a woman is not. She's clothed. Not like just partially clothed. She's clothed. Okay? So if you look at the Gemara says, Tan Rabbanan, Ha'ish mechasen oto per yechon mi'en lefanav. A man is covered in front, the isha shnei prakim. The woman has two places to be covered, front and back. Because both front and back are considered part of her erva where it isn't for a man. Okay. The Chachamim omrim, the Chachamim say, Ha'ish niskal arum, ve'inan isha niskelet aruma. A man is stoned unclothed, and a woman is clothed stoned. Stoned clothed. There you go. My tamay derabanan. What's the reason? So Amar Krav, Ragmoto, Mayoto. What's Oto? Ile Moto Velo Oto Vaktivo Seda Ishahu Ishahi. It can't mean that only men get stoned because it's not true. Men and women can both be punished. Ela Mayoto, Oto Velo Chsuto, him, meaning him alone. When you stone him, it's just the guy. Nothing else. Nothing. No addendums, no clothes, no nothing, right? Ha Oto Velo Chsuto, but she is clothed. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Oto Velo Chsuto, Lo shna ish, lo shna isha. So now the Gemara has two problems, right? The Gemara's problem, and I guess I'll just mention it because you guys did Sota. The Gemara sees a contradiction here because the Gemara's main focus in Sanhedrin is, are we worried about having these people stoned, unclothed? Is that going to cause other people to have improper thoughts? So here the Gemara notes a contradiction between the Gemara in the assumption of Yehuda and Chamim in Sota. Right, so what's the assumption in Sota? The Yehuda says, right, one part of the Sota is you tear her shirt, right? So Rabbi Yehuda says, unless she has a particularly beautiful upper half of her body, right, then you don't, because people will be attracted. So therefore, it's not worth tearing the clothes in. And that's Chachamim. What? That's Chachamim. One second. And the Chachamim say you always tear her shirt. So why is it that in our Gemara, Rabbi Yehuda is not afraid of having the woman stoned naked, but in Sota, the Gemara is worried about having her uncovered? And the Chachamim flip it, that the Chachamim by stoning are worried about the woman being naked, but by Sota, they're not worried about tearing her clothes. Right, so what does the Gemara answer? So the Gemara says Chachamim is easy, right? Yehuda, the Gemara says, is easy by stoning. So maybe people will think improperly about her, but then she's dead. So there's nothing they can do about it. So it remains at the level of improper thoughts, and then it's done. But by Sota, if she's innocent, now suddenly all these people will have seen her half unclothed. Right? And Yehuda is worried about that. And the Chachamim flip it, because the Gemara says, the Chachamim say what? Right, the Gemara says there you're trying to embarrass her, which both might remove the sexual obligation, right, the sexual problem, and because, right, it's humiliating circumstances, and there's a chiyuv, but there's no such chiyuv by the Misa. Okay. So then the Gemara says, skipping down to three lines, the Gemara says, V'chitem aleyavad la tarte. So I don't understand. Why don't you just, according to Chachamim, why don't you just have her stoned while naked, and then you make her death worse, because now she's dying and she's getting humiliated in death too. Right? Just heap on the punishment. Why don't you just do that? So Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuha, Amar Krava, Haftorecha Kamocha. No, you have to love your fellow as yourself, and we understand that even when she's being killed, Bruar Lomita Yafe, make the death as painless as possible. Yes, this is for someone who committed a capital crime, but it doesn't give you an excuse to just make things worse than they have to be. So Lema Rav Nachman Tanaihi, the Gemara says, is that a machloket about whether or not you should be nice? Right? And that's the machloket, whether or not she should be naked, meaning whether you care to make her death better or worse. And the Gemara says, no, everyone agrees that you want the death to be as painless as possible. As possible. It's obviously painful. She's being killed for capital crime. But as painless as possible. What's the machloket? Dechulei amet l'dor Rav Nachman, v'hacha b'kamishlegei, Marsava bizuma de inishadifa light fe minicha de gufe. Marsava nicha de gufe neva bib mizione. The machloket is, would the woman rather be humiliated more and have a quicker death and feel less physical pain? Or would she prefer to feel less physical pain and swallow the humiliation? That's the machloket. That's the machloket. Both of them think you should give her as painless a death as possible. The question is, which pain is worse? The humiliation of being stoned naked or the slowing down of the death and in the stoning process? Right? That's the Gemara's conclusion. Yes, Ellie. So this is what Rami wanted to say, right? Rami wanted to, okay, so let's first outline the problem the Achronim have, okay? And then let's go through possible ways of solving it, okay? The problem the Achronim have is as follows. Rav Yehuda is a one of the man di amar in bal sugyot, right? In the case of tzedakah, Rav Yehuda weighs in and says, I give to people who need food before people who need clothing because physical pain. Let me just set out the problem that people have here, okay? In that Gemara, he prefers to give it to solve physical pain over humiliation, right? Food over clothing. In the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Rav Yehuda thinks that a woman would rather be killed naked rather than feel the physical pain. Okay? That's the problem. And I gave you that. How do we paskin? One second. How do we paskin in both sugyot? Like Rabbi Yehuda. We paskin in both sugyot like Rabbi Yehuda. Okay? What? One more time. That they should? Wait, actually, do we paskin that way? You know, let me hold stock for a second. We'll look at the Rambam in a minute. Rav Yehuda, in one case, prefers physical and one emotional, right? Humiliation and, right? That's the problem the Achronim have. Okay? So now, let's try to figure out how do we deal with this. So, one possibility, as we already said, is that in the Tzedaka case, Rav Yehuda is not saying anything about whether physical or emotional pain is worse. He's just saying which one is more likely to be faked. Right? Meaning, maybe he really thinks that emotional pain is worse. He just thinks that it's harder to fake physical pain. Right? Or less likely to fake physical pain. Right? Yes? We said that was a possibility. Yes? Yes. You're telling me there's not a possibility? I don't know if it's a likely possibility, but it's definitely a possibility. Yeah. You give them clothes without, you give them food without investigation and clothes with investigation because Sara is worse than degradation. You stone her naked because a person would rather incur emotional pain of being unclothed than physical pain. No, in one case he thinks that physical pain is worse. The food case. You give her food before clothing. Right? Because it's worse to be starving than it is to be humiliated. You said you stone her naked because she would rather be humiliated than be in physical pain. No. She would rather avoid physical pain even at the cost of being embarrassed by being naked. Because physical pain is worse. No, I'm sorry. Because One second. One second. One second. Rabbi Yehuda says, wait, Aish Mechazer Lefana, Aisha Milfaneha, Mechareder, one second. Rabbi Yehuda says, right, you cover her, and she's killed, right, naked, to avoid physical pain. You're right. Rav Yehuda himself, right, is not a problem, right? Rav Yehuda himself is not a problem, right? Rav Yehuda, one second. Make sure I got it right. Correct. Right. You're right. Right. Rav Yehuda says that you avoid physical pain even if it takes if you have to endure emotional pain. Right, okay. So, right. So the problem lies in the realm of psak, right? The problem is on the level of psak, right? Rather than in the positions, right? Because we paskin like Rav Yehuda in the case of tzedaka, right? Where in the tzedaka case we say prefer physical pain to emotional, right? But we passing like the chachamim, right? There we go. That's what passing like the chachamim by the stoning case, right? Now, so how do we deal with this? So one way is to say, look, within Rabbi Yehuda, there's no problem, because Rabbi Yehuda in both cases prefers avoiding physical pain, right, over emotional pain. Rabbi Yehuda is consistent. But the question becomes, why do we paskin then like Rabbi Yehuda in one and not like Rabbi Yehuda in the other? So one is to say that Rabbi Yehuda in the Saka case is not about which you prefer at all. I mean, the sugya in Bava Basra is only about simanim, right? What is a person more likely or more easily able to fake? But it weighs in not at all as what's worse. And therefore, the Gemara in Sanhedrin is about which is worse, and the Gemara in Bava Basra is about what is easier to fake, right? And therefore, they're not the same at all, right? So that's one way of dealing with, and therefore, when the question is which is worse, we paskin that emotional pain is worse. But when it's a question of which is easier to fake, so then it's easier to fake, right? So we just simply paskin that it's easier to fake being naked than it is, right? Because you don't have clothes, than it is to fake starvation. You could argue that Rabbi Yehuda himself actually thinks that both sugyot are based on emotional pain being not as bad as physical pain, but we don't think, right? But we, sort of the outsiders, think that Bava Basra is more about simanim, and Sanhedrin is more about what's actually worse, and therefore we split the difference, right? Right? So that's also plausible. Now, before we get into super conceptual answers, right? I don't know if they're super conceptual. Rami, why don't you give me the easy answer, which is, right, which is the Chavos Yair's answer to all of these sugyas, which is? Okay, good. So Rami holds like the Chavos Yair. Rami says, look, it's very simple. You don't have to get very fancy in terms of why we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in one sugya and against Rabbi Yehuda in the other. There's really not much chachma to it. There's just gradations, right? There's like levels of physical pain and levels of emotional, right, pain, of embarrassment. High levels of embarrassment might be worse than certain physical pain, and low levels of embarrassment might be better. I mean, it's just, there are gradations. So the Chavos Yair just said, it's very simple. Being stoned naked is really embarrassing. And there we side against Rabbi Yehuda and say, people don't want that, right? People don't want that level of humiliation, right? Because that's really bad. But going around with tattered clothes or maybe missing some of your clothes or whatever exactly the case is not as humiliating. And therefore, people would rather endure a little bit more pain to avoid humiliation, but not a lot more pain, right? Wait. Rami, you got one in. Rami, you've already taken the position of the Chavos Yair. I know that you have another one. Now, there's another. Rami had a second formulation, which Ellie took, right, which is, well, there's another way of looking at this, which is also pretty quantitative, and that is, are both pains happening anyways? Right? Is this, right? Rami was trying to say this before, right? Ellie was trying to say it now, but now let's, Rami, I'll let you weigh in now, right? Which is, there's a difference. In our in the case in Sanhedrin, they're going to be suffering a certain level of humiliation one way or the other, because, you know, being killed for a capital crime with everybody watching on is not exactly, right, is it humiliating to begin with, and being embarrassed by being naked is embarrassing, right? And it's going to be painful one way or the other. We're killing them. It's not like, right, this is painful one way or the other. So the sugya in Sanhedrin is like, if you're already being humiliated and you're already being put through pain, then the question is, okay, there's going to be a lot of pain and a lot of humiliation, but in that case, would you rather, at the margins, increase physical pain and decrease humiliation, or increase humiliation to decrease physical pain? But you're going to get both, right? That's a very marginal question, right? As opposed to the Gemara in Bava Basra, which might be saying, look, asking for clothes and therefore going around naked is humiliating, right? But it's not physically painful,
right? And not having food is physically painful, but it's not really humiliating in the same way, right? So it could be that, these are different questions, right? One is, when you're already suffering physical pain and humiliation, how do you balance which one is worse, right? Or which one you would rather increase, right? When you're going to endure both one way or the other, as opposed to the sucker cage, which is more asking which is more painful by itself, right? So those are variations on the quantitative answer here, which is to say, it depends, right? Either it depends how bad they are, or it depends on the whole totality of the picture, right? Those are different quantitative answers to this question. Yes? Correct, right? You could give another quantitative answer, which is, right, maybe someone isn't, right, starving day after day is worse than not having clothes, right? Because, look, at the end of the day, yes, it's humiliating not having clothes, but the guy will spend most of the time without anyone seeing them and, right, whatever, as opposed to when they're being killed, right, you're talking a few more minutes of pain, right, versus a few more minutes of humiliation. The calculus is different, right? Yeah, meaning there are like, you could have variations on this quantitative answer, right? Which is, again, either it's about how much physical or how much emotional pain is going on, or a difference between isolating physical pain and isolating humiliation and it all existing together and it just being a question of balance. Or the case of killing someone is the whole thing's over in a few minutes, right? So the calculus is different. People might be willing to swallow a few minutes of extra pain when it's all going to be over soon anyways, but they don't want their last moments on earth to be being stone naked, right? But if it's day after day, the calculus might be different, right? Right? All those answers basically say, look, even if you see a tension between the sugyot, in the end of the day, you can solve it by recognizing that there is no consistent answer of whether physical pain is worse than humiliation. It depends on context. It depends on quantitatively how painful it is. It depends on how long this is going to last for, right? Those are variations on an answer, right? Those are all now again, just to see what we've done. Our first set of answers were there is no contradiction whatsoever. The sugya by Staka is talking about is an epistemic question, right? Meaning, how do we know that someone needs money for food, and how do we know that someone needs money for clothes? It's not weighing in on whether the person is experiencing physical or emotional pain. It's how likely is that we'll be able to figure out whether you're lying or not. And the Gemara in Sanhedrin is talking about actual experience of pain, right? That I've seen no Achron say, but that was our first set of answers, right? Is that the Gemara in Bava Basra isn't weighing in on which is worse. It's weighing in on how likely are we able to pick out the lawyer, right? The second set of answers is to say, no. Both Gemaras really are trying to figure out at some level which is worse pain, but there are various quantitative differences. So either there's really bad humiliation and not so bad humiliation. Really bad humiliation is worse, right? Or the murder case, the capital crime case is a little bit unique because you're suffering a lot of humiliation and a lot of physical pain one way or the other. So it's just a marginal question, right? And that's all it means, right? Or as Ezra's saying, you have to think long-term, short-term, and the calculus is different, right? That Staka is asking a long-term question. The case of the capital crimes is asking a short-term question by definition, right? You're talking about the whole thing's over in a few minutes anyways, we hope, right? Okay. Yeah, I really always think it's going to take one day. So it'll take 2 days. That's fine. But that's because I think we really did push it here. So let me, instead of trying to run through the other answers, let me outline what's left and we'll do it tomorrow, okay? One more Gemara that comes into this conversation is the Gemara in Brachot, which tells us, and we'll look at it more carefully inside, that under certain circumstances, for human dignity, we're allowed to waive mitzvot. Now, that category doesn't quite exist for physical pain. Okay? So the question is whether this sugya isn't all related here. And I think it pushes us to the heart of this question at some level, which is, right, both the Gemara in Bava Basra and the Gemara in Sanhedrin are focusing on humiliation, right, in the sense of emotional pain. But the formulation in Brachot is different because it's about a Mace Mitzvah. So it's not talking about feeling emotional pain. What is it talking about, Yonatan? It's talking about dignity, right? And the question is dignity, right, is objective dignity the same or different than feeling humiliation, right? So you have to sort of fit that into the mix. And with that, we'll see two other answers, basically in the sugya. Both Rav Chanan Wasserman and the Or Sameach, right, as to how they deal with this. Again, it may be that there is no contradiction to be dealt with, but either way, what they will do is their answers will weigh in on the nature of human dignity, so they're important to look at, so we'll do that tomorrow, okay?